Thank you, Angie, for reading, and we may God bless the reading of His Word. Have you ever had moments in life where things just didn't go as you thought they would or even should? I think most of us can say that we probably have. Maybe there was some expectation of how life would be. Maybe it was a relationship or a job. But how it actually progressed or played out was nothing like you thought it would be when you started or were younger. Well, today we're going to begin a new series called I Am. And we're going to look at each week one of the I Am statements found within the Gospel of John. These are statements where Jesus gave us word pictures of who He was, and we're going to look at how those can apply within our own life. And we're going to start with a pretty big one this morning, found in John chapter 11, verse 25. And Jesus says He says that He is the resurrection and the life, that the one who believes in Me will live even though they die. And It's found within a story where nothing goes as the key players in the story expected. And the statement of Jesus is quite a statement, let alone a picture of who He is. And so when Jesus says this statement, it's in the context of a much broader story about a guy named Lazarus and how this is playing out with his sisters. And what I want us to do this morning as we read this story is we're going to look at some takeaways from the story that maybe we can apply within our own lives. And so we're actually going to start at John chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick." Now we're going to find out he wasn't just sick. It wasn't just the sniffles. He wasn't just feeling poorly. He was sick, sick. I mean, he was really sick. And it goes on to say he was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And Bethany's about 2 miles from Jerusalem. And verse 3 says, "So the sisters sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Now, if I can pause for a moment, and we can acknowledge that in our world today, there are a lot of people that are hurting right now, because they've had similarly bad news. Maybe it is the one you love is sick. Maybe it was heard, you've heard the news, the job you love is likely going away. Maybe it's some dream marriage has turned into a nightmare, or a close friendship is seemingly deteriorating. It's bad news, Lord. The one you love is sick. If I can give you a quick summary, jumping from verses 5 through 11 it basically is that everyone believes that because the word has been sent to Jesus, that He is going to come and save the day. He's going to come and help, but He doesn't. He gets the word, but He doesn't do anything with it. Instead, He hangs out for 2 days. They're freaking out, and He's hanging out. But 2 days later, all of a sudden, He turns to His disciples and says, "Let's go back to Judea." And in response to that, His disciples say, "Jesus, don't you remember the last time? Just a few days ago, we were there, and they tried to kill you. They tried to stone you there. That probably is not a good thing to do." But in verse 11, Jesus' response is, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going to go wake him up." Now, He's not saying that Lazarus is tired and is taking a nap, that, you know, He knows he's sick, but what He is saying is he's dead and we're going to go raise him from the dead. So this morning, what I want to do is I want us to look at some of the key figures in this story and see three different ways that they were dying on the inside. And perhaps some of these we can relate to, things that we've gone through or are going through even currently. And we can find something from this. But the first character I want us to look at is one of the first persons to respond to Jesus. Now, some of us might relate to Thomas. He was dead in his doubts. We know him as Doubting Thomas. But in verse 16, he actually starts out with sarcasm. It's a favorite response of mine. His remark to the rest of the group is not so much it's as doubt, but it's a lot of sarcasm. He says, "Well, let's go along and we'll die with him." In other words, he's doubting, but he's thinking this is not going to turn out well. And I wonder how many of us, if we were honest, that we would admit that we've had times where we've doubted. That there's been maybe a spiritual doubt at some point in our life. Maybe at some point you prayed a prayer and believed God would or at least should do something, and He didn't. And then you're kind of bombarded with doubts of why didn't He? Or perhaps you believed in God and something bad happened to somebody that you really loved and cherished, and you thought, well, if God is good, why did He let that happen? If He's all powerful, why didn't He stop it? And suddenly, you find yourself like Thomas. There's something on the inside that's a bit dead from the doubt. Or maybe you're more like Mary. You're not dead in your doubts, but you find yourself dead in the discouragement. You don't see anything good happening, and you just can't seem to get a break. We find Mary, she's discouraged. We see this in verse 20. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet Him, but Mary stayed home. It feels like she's kind of asking, well, why bother? My brother's dead. What's the point? I don't even need to go out there. I mean, what? I don't see a point in it. There's nothing He can do now. And that may be where some of us find ourselves right now. You think, I can't change anything. I'll always be. I'm never going to. I'm just stuck. And this may be right where you are right now. You don't want to show it. You may be smiling on the outside, but on the inside, you're really discouraged with life right now. Some are dead in their doubts. Some are dead in their discouragement. Martha, well, she was dead in the delay. Jesus took too long. She sent word several days before. And for her, Jesus should have responded. He should have come back right then, and yet He didn't. Verse 17 says that on His arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been dead in the tomb for 4 days. And why this matters is that there was a commonly held belief that the spirit would stick around for 3 days after someone died. At 4 days, the spirit left. So in her mind, Lazarus wasn't just mostly dead. He was all the way dead. So dead that later in the story, Martha responds to Jesus that the dead body would smell at this point. The decay had started. In fact, if the King James Version says that when she described him, she said, "He stinketh." That's how dead he was. 4 days. The spirit's gone. He's dead. He's not mostly dead. In fact, he stinketh. Verse 21. Martha said to Jesus, "If You had been here, my brother would not have died." Basically, you took too long, Jesus. Why didn't You do this when You could have come and done something about it? And for some of us right now, you can relate. You feel dead in the delay. You're waiting for an unanswered prayer, for some desired result. And the harder you pray, the longer it seems to be taking. And you wonder, why is God taking so long? And if that's you today, I hope you'll never forget that God's delays are not God's denials. Just because God hasn't done something the way that you think he should and at this moment doesn't mean that God isn't in charge. And he has a plan that he may be glorified in the future through something that you're going through right now. So here's the story. Lazarus is dying. Thomas freaks out. Lazarus then dies. Mary's depressed. Martha's mad. And yet in verse 22, Martha looks at Jesus and says, "But I know that even now, even though we're dead in our delay, we're dead in our discouragement, we're dead in our doubts, even now God will give you whatever you ask." I've realized that some of us need to have an even now moment with God. You're stuck in this time, and it's time to let your faith come out and believe that even now, that all things are possible with God. That even now, when you're discouraged, the presence of God can come in and build your faith. That even now, when you're feeling all alone, like there's no one there, that the presence of the Holy Spirit can come and give you a peace that surpasses all understanding. Even now, God can reach into your jacked up family life and bring healing and harmony and forgiveness and restoration. Even now, when everything looks impossible, we can serve a God who says, "All things are possible." Even now, when your heart may be cold and callous towards the things of God, in a moment, God can soften your heart and draw you into His presence. Even now, when there's something that is dead, the resurrection power of Christ can bring it back to life. And that's what Jesus responds in verse 23. Jesus responds to Martha and he says, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha answers, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." She was confused and she's thinking about a different resurrection that has been long talked about. And Jesus' response in verse 25 is what we need to focus in on this morning. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life." He didn't say, "I'm able to resurrect." He said, "I am the resurrection. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Whoever lives by believing in me will never die." And he asks Martha, "Do you believe this?" You see, resurrection is not just what Jesus does. It's who he is. The resurrection isn't just an event, it's the very person. It's not just what Jesus does, it's who he is. Dead things don't stay dead when the resurrection walks into the room. And Jesus looks at the tomb where Lazarus stinketh, and he says this to his disciples, "Roll the stone away." And when they do, in verse 43, Jesus calls out in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to him, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." Some of you feel this morning that you're dead inside. You've lost faith. You've lost hope. You're lost and dead in the delay, and you're discouraged, and maybe you have some doubts, and maybe like Lazarus, you feel trapped in a tomb, bound by the trappings of death. You feel like you don't have the strength to roll the stone away. And this morning, I want you to remember that Christ is calling you out of the grave. The stone has been rolled away. And the same voice that called Lazarus to come out is calling you to come out. Your sins can be forgiven, not just because you're good, but because he's good. You can be set free, not because you're strong, but because he is strong. You can feel his presence, not because you deserve it, but because he is that good. The resurrection isn't just what Jesus does. It's who He is. And why does that matter? Because God, in His love and mercy, did something for us that we were incapable of doing for ourselves. He became one of us. God in the flesh. He endured the cross. The earth went dark and shook, and everyone who had hoped that maybe He was the Messiah fell into despair and darkness. And they didn't realize that it might have been Friday, but Sunday was coming. God would be glorified through His death. And Jesus was raised. And some of you right now, you're stuck in the in-between. And I want you to know that one touch from God, everything can change. Now, I'm not telling you that everything's going to be perfect, that everyone gets healed immediately, that your body becomes perfect and maybe you win the lottery. No, you know that's all that other stuff. But what I am telling you is that God is always glorified by what happens in the difficult moments when we put our trust in Him, because He is that good. And so Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Some of you, the Bible says that you're dead in your sins. And you find yourself that way, bound. But because of who He is, not because what we could ever do of earn or deserve it. Jesus calls us out of the grave. Our sins can be forgiven. And you can be made brand new. That's the gospel message. That this good news, that God did something that we couldn't do for ourselves, because He is that good. The tomb is empty. He is risen. And the resurrection changes everything for us. It's time for us to listen to Jesus' call to come out of the grave. To stop living in that death. The doubt, the sin, and the fear. And to start taking off the death grave clothes and living into the relationship that He calls us to. Jesus calls us to come out, to live free, to live into the truth of who He is, not the truth of the tomb. He is the resurrection. It's not just something that He does. And He offers us that because He has conquered the grave. Would you pray with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we celebrate You, that You did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. That God, even though we may have moments of doubt, moments of discouragement, moments of fear, that we don't have to live into those. Because You have called us out. That even now, we can experience Your presence in our life. That You are the resurrection and the life. And that we can experience freedom in You that this world can't offer. Lord, we thank You. We thank You for Your faithfulness, for Your love, for Your grace and mercy. And God, we pray for those that are facing these things right now. God, give them the freedom that only You can bring. In Your name we pray. Amen. We're thankful for you joining with us this morning, and we look forward to the day that we can all celebrate together in one place, and it will be an amazing celebration. Again, visit bakernaz.com, and if you're a regular member of our church, we invite you in the God's calling for tithes and offerings to share that way. If we can help you in some way, please let us know. If we can pray with you in some way, please let us know. Check in on one another, and we'll talk to you soon. God bless.